This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 326.
The Nerdist TV show is coming back, BBC America, March 30th, Saturday at 10 p.m., I believe. So it'll be a new Doctor Who, and then Orphan Black, which is a new series, and then our show. And I don't, the guests that we're getting this season are kind of freaking me out, who's agreed to come on the show. I don't know if I'm allowed to announce it yet, but soon I will. And you'll be like, holy shit, how'd you get all those people? And I'll be like, I don't know, person. But we did. So the show's going to be really fun. And there's a stand-up element to the show now. So the last part of the last little chunk of the show is stand-up. We set up the room so it'd be really perfect for a good stand-up set and have some of my favorite comics coming in to perform on each show. So it's going to be like a little variety show kind of thing. I'm very excited about it. I'm also super excited that we have a new sponsor on the show, and it is the new Tomb Raider, available in stores March 5th. Stores like a Target, for example, would be a place that would have that. But it's available. It's for Xbox, Crystal Dynamics, and Square Enix. It's a complete reboot, and Lara Croft is just kind of a grittier Lara Croft. If you go to Skydart's Twitter page, you can see her profile banner. She cosplayed as the new Lara Croft last year at Comic-Con, or at New York Comic-Con, and it was a big hit with the nerds. So new Tomb Raider coming out. It's a cool story. Lara gets shipwrecked on this island off Japan, and it's basically she's searching for shipwrecked comrades, and then sort of uncovers the history of the island along the way. But it's got survival gameplay and stealth and melee and range combat and exploration. So the new Tomb Raider, it's wonderful that they were able to reboot the franchise. And so March 5th that'll come out. And for a limited time, you can get the it comes with a collectible steelbook and the Shantytown multiplayer map. So just some cool extra stuff if you act fast. So, thanks to Tomb Raider for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, which is Ben Hoffman, who Jonah knew from working at Current, and he's a really funny guy, and he has a new show premiering on February 28th on Comedy Central, The Ben Show with Ben Hoffman, and so we brought him on, and it's always kind of fun to see, you know, particularly in Jonah's case, like, just people like graduating, like, oh, they used to work at this job together that they hated, and they weren't getting paid that much, and now they both went on to other stuff. And you know, Ben's got his own show on Comedy Central. He's a super funny guy. So here we go, the Nerdist Podcast number 326 with Mr. Ben Hoffman.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Yeah. Can we get these words off the screen?
What do you guys have against captioning?
Well, on the...
On my first episode, it's up now on Comedy Central. Is that better?
Right. Yeah.
It's the top of the mic.
It almost has to go in your mouth.
Hold on, I'm trying to...
Slower.
But should I add that I engineered and did all the music on my show? That's not a joke.
Did you?
Yeah. That good?
Sounds good, Ben awesome. Hoffman.
Thanks, man.
What about closed captioning? Why do you hate it?
No. Our show just premiered today on Comedy Central before its premiere, and it's set to default to closed captioning, which I find ruins comedy.
Oh, when you have to read the
See the words before the joke comes.
Yeah, it kind of screws it up.
It ruins it unless you're deaf.
Exactly.
In which case, I think it maybe greatly enhances it.
It sure does. But
what
if you're
percentage
not deaf,
of the audience?
Listen, any deaf people listening to this podcast right now, let us know what you think.
Yeah, let us know which version you like better.
Oh, that's right.
What?
No one transcribes this podcast.
Some
do
people
they?
Do actually. Ugh. Some people, I get transcribed.
I'm trying to think of anything I've ever said that might be.
You would
bad.
Not want to see making offensive-y, jokey stuff in conversation. Fine. Seeing it in print. Oh,
different.
Never plays.
I bet podcasts don't read well.
They do not read well at all.
For the most part.
Yeah, it's true. It's like everyone's racist. Everyone laughs at themselves a lot.
What's happening?
That would just be like reading a podcast would be like, and then he ha 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 ha.
Laughs at itself.
Laughing. Yeah.
Why are the same five characters in every book I read? Just talking at each other with each other in different locations.
So Ben Hoffman, let's talk a little bit about your Comedy Central show. It premiered.
All right, fine.
It premiered today, which is this obviously will not air today, but it in the very near future this will go up. So tell people about the show, and then we'll talk about you and your hopes and your dreams and where you came from and what your favorite ice cream.
As my old buddy Jonah here knows, the show is me, my life, but it's me. You just follow me in my life. I go on like a journey in a certain episode, like the first episode, I go buy a gun, and then the real people in my life that I meet along the way, they introduce the sketches. So it is a sketch show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also Man on the Street because in between I'm talking to random street. And all that stuff is real.
Yeah.
My dad's in the show. Girls I've asked out on dates who've turned me down are on the show.
But they agreed to come on television.
Yes, they agreed to come on television and it's a gig.
Yeah.
Because they're all wannabe actresses.
So does that sort of feel like you win in a way, or does it still feel like a...
When she comes on the show and explains how she pushed me off of her... And I let that air. It's not a win in any way.
No.
Anyway.
It's a hindrance, if anything, for the future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, can I tell you the real story about that girl?
I'd love to.
This involves Jonah. So Jonah and I, we've been through some shit together. We used to work at Al Jazeera TV.
Yes, the pre-Al Jazeera network.
Yeah. And so the first time I was ever recognized for being on the show that Jonah and I was working on, this girl walks up to me at a bar and... she's like, "You're Ben Hoffman." I'm like, "Yeah." The first time I've ever been recognized by anyone who was an attractive person. So I'm like, "Fuck, this is it. This is the group. Like, this is what I've been waiting for." That's why you do TV, is to get attractive girls to come up to you and say hi. So I just assumed she was
into you,
into me,
yeah.
Like, ready to go. This is how groupies work. So I had her over for coffee, right? Not over, but like met her up for coffee. No interest in me at all, but I just assumed she was so nervous because I was so famous that
from this fifth tier cable channel,
for the channel that literally they couldn't measure on the dial,
yeah,
because the numbers were so low.
Well, they were using a dial is the problem.
Yeah. Exactly. Back to that, they came in one day. They go, "Either there was something wrong with the numbers, or your show went up a bunch this week." cut to next week. Something was wrong with the numbers.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks, because you get that like, "Oh my God, maybe what we're doing is okay," and then just taken away.
Yeah, no, they let us know.
Just like that girl that you went on a date with, a very parallel experience.
It's very parallel. Everything I get is taken away.
I did have that happen once where I years and years, like 10 years ago, there was this girl who was on a show on the same channel that I was on, and she was like, "Let's go out to lunch." And I was like, "Oh, this seems like... okay, yeah, when does a..." I mean, that's a statement, like, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She started it.
And then we went out to lunch, and she was very flirty, and then She went to the bathroom, and in my own head, I was like, "Oh, I think this is going well. I think that this is crazy. I didn't even have to do anything."
Yeah.
And then she comes back, and she was like, "Oh, I just had to go call my boyfriend." And then the rest of it was about her boyfriend. And I'm like, "I don't understand why." And then that was it. There seemed to be no end game whatsoever.
Why would you have lunch with anybody if you have a boyfriend?
No. Well, not that. I just mean
I'm with you.
That's kind of rude of her.
It wasn't rude. I just couldn't figure out, like, well, then why did you? I mean. Guys are dumb, so maybe she just thought, well, this is a nice, funny friend to have. So maybe in her mind, the end game was let's be friends. But there didn't really seem to be any clear, like, did you want to pitch something or did you want to go out? Like, there was no, and then it was just like, okay, see ya. Like,
she liked you for you?
That's impossible.
Mm-mm.
I am unlikable to the core, Jonah Ray. Once you peel back the layers, it's just like, oh God, it's just like opening up a sewage tank.
I knew the internet was right.
The internet's always right,
I
Jonah.
I disagree.
The internet's always right. Always. So you go to lunch with this girl. What's the part where she had to push you off her?
No, so then I'm like, I assume that everything, her shyness and disinterest in me is because of my enormous fame.
Mm, of course.
I'm all not realize. I mean, yeah.
Ben from Infomania.
Yeah, in the back of my head, I still realize I've been recognized once.
Yes,
so I know my fame is not really catching on. So, but I'm like, this girl's a super fan. She's just nervous to be around me. That's why she's not like being really nice. Mm-hmm. Turns out she's not being nice because I'm boring and annoying and have a bad personality. Which I'm with her. I agree. So I'm like, let me walk you to your car afterwards. Walk you to a car. There's no sign to do anything.
But in your head, you're like, I'm going to give it a shot anyway.
Well, in my head, I'm like, I got to go for it because this is her dream. I'm going to make her dreams reality. She's going to get to make out with the biggest celebrity in town.
Right.
Of course, I go in to make out and literally, like, forcefully pushes me off of her. And then, of course, texts me that night, like, you know, really fun hanging out.
Great.
Yeah. And then I text her, you know, 6 months later, like, I have a pilot for Comedy Central. Do you want to be on it? She's like, oh, cool. A gig.
Mm.
That's really weird. I haven't
now
even...
Now you're married.
Yes, I love her.
I have an even weirder... Not, and I'm not trying to do the rude one-upsmanship, but I do have an even weirder one than that, which was back when I was Peter Hardwick, which was drunk Chris Hardwick, back in, I think, maybe like 99, 2000. There was this bar I used to hang out at all the time, which was near UCLA, which was pathetic because I was 10 years too old to be doing that.
The Irish
That's
bar.
Beside the point.
I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I had to sneak in there with a fake ID once to hang out with you.
Wasn't that adorable?
That was fun.
I got you drunk.
Yeah, you did.
Remember those days?
Good times.
No job to get up for the next day. Just drinking and eating pizza at 4 a.m. and wondering why work wasn't falling into my fat lap.
And now you got to get up at noon for a podcast.
Ugh. Ugh, I hate it.
So there was this girl who was a bartendress at this bar that I used to hang out with all the time. And we didn't ever get along, really. But then one night we sort of hit it off. And then she was like, let's go bowling. And I'm like, okay. So we go bowling. We go down to Bayshore Lanes on Pico.
It was
in Santa
her
Monica.
That...
She instigated it.
Ooh.
Then we are going to continue the hangout after bowling. So she comes over to my apartment. She's like, do you have any sweats I can wear? And I'm like, sure. So she puts on sweats. We get into bed. And then I go to... Nothing's happened at this point. I go to try to kiss
nothing's
her.
Nothing's happened.
Nothing's happened.
But I'm saying that's a lot that has happened.
That, yeah. Yes. I mean, nothing... But we still... There's no touching or fluids have been exchanged on any front and or back. And so she, I go to kiss her. Meanwhile, she's in my, a t-shirt of mine and sweats in my bed.
Yeah.
And she's like, whoa, whoa, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, what do you mean? She was like, I have a boyfriend. And I'm like, why?
Does
why
he know what you're doing?
Why are
and where
you here?
Are?
And she's like, I'm not doing anything wrong. As nearly as I can figure, she had some sort of a falling out or something with her boyfriend and
needed a place.
I think just needed an emotional place. Like, it reassured. I don't know. I think she just needed to know, like, I can still do this.
Ugh.
And so nothing happened. And she ended up keeping a shirt that I really loved. That was it. That was the strangest.
That's pretty strange. I mean, that's taking it to the next level.
Yeah, that's a bit far. Getting into bed, wearing your clothes, sweats, known for being able to be taken off easily.
I'm very respectful. I was like, well,
they're your sweats. You know your way around them.
Yeah.
My balls have been in there.
You know the trick. Don't pull too hard. You haven't knotted one side.
Yeah, it wouldn't
be, don't take the string out.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be the first time.
Which is something I like to say to girls a lot.
What?
Oh, nothing. Oh, it's not fun anymore.
Oh,
I said don't take the string out. Something I like to say to girls a lot. It's not a good.
No, was good. I'm sorry.
It was a bad joke.
I was giving it up for the guest, and I.
You should give it up for the guest.
You know what it is? Two killer jokes at the same time.
I mean, this is what happens when you have a tornado and an earthquake.
Yeah. Can we put one on the left ear, one on the right?
You gotta pay attention. Yeah. We'll separate them like the.
And you pan it, whichever
like
one
the
you
Beatles.
Want.
We'll separate them like the Beatles.
Exactly. We got the Beatles and the Stones playing at the same time.
But
that would make me angry.
And then I was like, well, do you want me to go sleep on the couch then? I don't. And then she was like, no. And then she kind of like snuggled up. I just didn't know. And so I just kind of laid sort of like a. Like a beef eater doll, just like arms at my side all night.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's acceptable.
I wonder if that's like.
She got up and left the next morning.
That's her thing, though. Like, you know, like her boyfriend is like, she did it again, met a guy, went back, put on his
clothes. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I just slept in his clothes in his bed.
It's the difference. Like, she's bungee jumping where the boyfriend thinks she's skydiving. You know? It's all safe.
Oh, okay.
Nothing wrong.
Yeah. Well, but a parachute could be analogous to a bungee. I mean, a parachuting still says.
Bungee sounds like sex to me, man.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's the boing sound.
Okay, it's the fake. It's doing the fake air tank skydiving exercise.
Yeah.
As opposed to a real skydive.
I would say this was like an emotional bungee jump, where I thought I might be going in. I'm not going in.
So you're the one doing the bungee.
Yep.
I really want to bring it back to bungee jumping. Yeah.
Here's my metaphor.
And she is a creek.
Her boyfriend thinks she's fucking, but she's not.
That's a good metaphor.
Yeah.
Do I have the word metaphor right?
Yeah.
Right. I think I may have gone too.
It's like when her boyfriend. Yeah, I know. Wonder whatever happened to that girl. Oh, that was a long time ago. Probably got kids now. Probably got a bunch of guys that didn't touch her.
She's probably got a lot of sweats by now.
She must have a ton. That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, she has a sweat.
She's collecting sweats.
Museum.
Oh, she owns Juicy.
She just took all the old sweats and put Juicy letters
on them.
She
was also hanging out like, do you have any iron-on letters? She was just getting everything ready.
Yep. That's it.
Building her empire.
Yeah.
Sexless sleeping your way to a new business.
And
but, Ben,
worked.
We're not here to talk about how I almost hooked up with a girl and puzzlingly
We don't know that, but I'm happy to do that.
What's when did you so your Comedy Central show? How many episodes did you do? Did you like 10 episodes?
8.
You did 8 episodes.
They offered 10. I said no way.
I got 8 in me.
I said 8. I got 8. Please, no season 2. yeah, I'm out of ideas. I was out of ideas after episode. No, I am psyched that the audience will decide later. To me, it gets better as it goes along.
Yeah. So why don't you shuffle them around then?
See, that's the thing. The point was to start them off strong. But we're in a different position than a lot of shows. This is not going to be like a giant, like everyone tune in week one. This is going to be a slow build because I'm an unknown quantity over there. This other guy, Nathan Fielder, has a show after ours. Also really funny. So it kind of needs to all be all killer, no filler, as AC/DC used to say.
Yeah.
Boy, they sure were talking about the internet.
Yeah.
Exactly. And programming and television.
I think they were talking about my show. but, you know, it might take 8 weeks for people to find the show because it's not going to be, you know, I'm doing like Kimmel and Conan and that kind of stuff, but it's not going to be like a giant juggernaut of advertising. Like, you're going to have to find the show. So I like the fact that it's all kind of spread out.
Well, you don't know that. I mean, you know, I think Key and Peele started off. You know, like they built gradually, and that got huge because
Tosh started real small too.
Tosh started small, but Key and Peele actually, their first week numbers were enormous.
Well, I take that back then.
Yeah, no, they got like a season 2 pickup, I think, like the next day.
Yeah,
well, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I didn't mean to correct you, but
you should correct me with truth.
But I've learned more about ratings these past 72 hours than I've ever known.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it's great stuff.
It's really nice to be able to quantify your worth by how much people. I mean, that's all we do now. It's what are the download numbers? How many views did it get? How many subscribers did we get? What are the ratings?
You have that stuff too.
Well, yeah, because, you know, what's interesting is that there really should be some three-dimensional number that tracks, you know, because I don't think, like Community, for instance, I don't think Community's Nielsen television ratings are a fair representation of what the cultural impact of that show is, when you look at, you know, who's watching it on Hulu and social media.
In years to come on cable and
television's one number, and it doesn't paint the whole picture, particularly for, you know, for a lot of Comedy Central's audience, which I imagine is a substantial number under 25, who probably watches a lot of things online.
Yeah. And there's no way to and I think they're still figuring out the DVR ratings.
DVR ratings don't count.
It's the dorm room ratings. One TV, bunch of dudes watching that TV.
That's true, actually, because it's weird. You guys find this weird? Maybe it's just because we're a little older, but all this, like, we need the college kids watching, I don't think there was a time in my life where I watched less TV than college. I didn't watch any.
I didn't go, but during college age, I couldn't afford cable. I didn't really watch TV. I was out.
Dorm did not have a TV. We didn't watch any.
Not only that, but it's a pretty big audience that's not in college.
Yeah.
Pretty big audience that's over 22. Pretty big. Yeah. With a lot more money to spend.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like the people who are skipping school or actually getting jobs are the people who are watching TV. Like,
and who has less money than a kid in college?
Yeah.
You know, it's no money
at
all.
You can advertise that car.
Well, a lot of third world countries have less money than kids in an American college.
Here we go.
What? I'm just saying, Joe.
We said we're going to talk the truth. He gave you the truth.
What's T.J. Miller's real juice? Drink it up.
Real juice. Drink it up.
I've got like a hot girl laugh thanks to like a little bug. I'm not.
What's a hot girl, like a party girl voice?
Well, no, I just like when I laugh.
I'm not going to sleep with you.
Like
yeah.
A little raspy thing.
Is that a hot girl laugh or is that girl. Like that's a party girl laugh?
Well, to me, hot women are 90 and over.
Okay.
That's what I meant to say.
Ben and I worked at Current TV, which is now owned by Al Jazeera.
Yep.
And I can't think of a more miserable time in my TV career.
It was pretty awful. Like,
I had to talk you out of leaving there.
Yeah, you did.
I talked Joan out of leaving there to come to Webster.
I was having the conversations with him on the other side, like pushing him out, like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, it's because it was me, Ben, and our friend Alex, who also worked at Current. And it would be the three of us and sometimes maybe Dan, that would, like, every day we'd leave the offices and go eat at Daphne's next to Target in West Hollywood.
That was our joy.
BOGO.
What was so brutal about it?
BOGOs.
You know what it was? Looking back on it, in fairness, it was almost like film school that you get paid for. Because I did learn how to make TV there. I will say that. I learned how to make bad TV. A lot of it was on me complaining that I was I was too good for this and they don't understand my talent.
Well, that's all we would go and talk about. We would just go like, it's like, you know, our bosses don't fucking understand. These guys are just fucking jocks or college guys that just don't know comedy. It's like, you know, like, that's the thing I would always bring up. I was like, Ben and I were like, we were in the trenches. We've performed live comedy. We've been with, you know, comedy is like our directional, like that's where we came from to do this. And to have some guy that fucking played soccer for his entire life, then started running the fucking TV show that we were working on, be like, I don't know if it's funny.
The comedy
show. No, you wouldn't, because you're not smart or funny. You don't
You got to be on stage. I don't do stand up. I performed obviously a lot of sketch and stuff, but like, you have to be on stage and hear silence from the audience while you're trying to be funny, or you can't get anywhere. Like, you have to have heard that silence. And we were just getting a lot of notes from just mainly, they also want us to have this, like, political angle, you know, because it was
everything had to have a, like, yeah.
And I have no political, I'm not a political comedian. I don't do any of this. Of course, an outsider would say, why didn't you just quit? Which is what you're about to say, and what you helped Jonah do. But, at the time, there was no other I remember one time being at Daphne's with you guys. I don't know, Joan, if you remember this, but I was like, listen, just out of nowhere, I go, listen, we're making livings. We're on TV. We can pay our bills. This is good. This is positive. And Dan's like, I'm getting this on iPhone. He films me saying, because he never heard me say anything positive in my life. And for the next week, he's like, I'm just going to play this every time. So I had to watch that video like 8,000 times. And then I was just like, just erase the fucking thing. Yeah. I know I was talking shit. I just had I just chugged a Diet Coke maybe. There was caffeine in the brain or something maybe. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. It was like watching the other Douglas Quaid at the when he comes on the screen at the end of the Total Recall.
Oh, yeah.
where before his memory was wiped.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, who is that guy?
Exactly.
I don't want to be that guy. Yeah. Except yours was the polarity reverse. Yeah. Where it's like, I don't want to be the positive guy.
But there was a lot of guilt that we had because of the fact that we were like, you know, we're on TV, we're making, you know, shows, we're making a living.
But
it wasn't what any of us
wanted. It is hard. And I know some people could say like, well, shut up, you have a job. But if the whole purpose of your existence is to, you know, is a creative endeavor, and you have stuff that you really want to do, and someone else who doesn't really care about it that much is keeping you from doing that, it's kind of a bummer.
And we felt trapped because we were like, I have something to say, but like, I can be funny. I can do this. In my head, I'm thinking I can do this. And nobody's watching it. Nothing's happening with it. But I can't leave because it's a full-time gig. You know, it's like too scary.
Every
That's
week.
Why I had so much respect for Jonah. That's why when you took him away, I was like, you know, fucking take me with, like, how do you do this?
Yeah, take but anyway, me with but you.
Because right after that is when I got the job offer to write on Norm's sports show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was like, finally, just to be in the game, you know, just to be part of, like, you know, like I walk in the office of a sports show and I go, you know, other guys in the office. He goes, hi, I'm Steve O'Donnell. I'm like, Steve O'Donnell? Like the head writer of Letterman for 15 years, Steve O'Donnell? The guy who came up with the top 10 list, Steve O'Donnell? He's like, yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I obviously know I'm nowhere near as funny as Steve O'Donnell, but just to be in a room with these people, it like changes everything. It's all of a sudden this.
It makes you feel like you're doing the right thing.
Yes, and it was very validating, but I do wish, looking back on it, I had enjoyed, I was going to say my time at Current, but I should have just said I wish I'd enjoyed my life. But that's
yeah.
But in one little. But it's, you know, like I can and part of the reason I imagine it's great to have your own show now is that it's, you know, I'm fine if I try jokes and they're mine and they fail. I can deal with that. But if someone else tells me what to do and I have to do it, and then it fails. It's just like, it's like your dad writing your stand-up jokes for you and be like, you have to do this. And you go out there and you're like, I'm sorry. I know you think this is me, but this isn't coming from me. But I don't have a choice.
But you've done a lot. You just did a pilot for Comedy Central.
I did, yeah.
But the execs there, and I hate to be this guy, but they've been fucking great.
They were great with me too.
They're awesome. And they're really big on not like, this is what you have to do, this is what you don't have. Like the show that I made is the show I want. There's not a compromise in the show.
I had the exact.
It is my show, and they are letting me do exactly what I want. The notes they gave me, again, I sound like a douche saying it. They were good notes.
Yeah.
They helped the show, and I took the notes not to be nice, because they were notes that made the show funnier.
Yeah.
Comedy Central's a really good place to work right now. And I say this, I don't know if they're going to pick up my show. And if they don't pick up my show,
I
don't know if they're going to pick up my show. They would still say the same exact, I would still say the same exact thing, which is there's kind of a renaissance of comedy. Like they're going out to the, you know, to you and Jeselnik and Nick Kroll and all these people and just saying like, you know, what would you want to do with the show and letting you guys do it, which is what a fucking network should do.
Totally. And I ran into Nick a while ago, and he's just like, yeah, it's just so awesome with you and me and, you know, Nathan and Jeselnik and Amy, all these people just like, they just made a decision. Like, let's try to make some good, find some funny people and let them do the show they want to do. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does, it does. But it's their voice. I mean, there's nothing, if you don't like my show, I had no chance. Like, it's all me. Like, it's all my personality. I'm leaving nothing on the table on the show. Like, there's nothing else I can give you. It comes down to whether you like it or not. But there's no compromises made as far as, like, see, I told them that wouldn't have worked. I told them this one. Like, I'm completely, and they're happy about it, too. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Is that they're as psyched about the show as I am. Well, probably more psyched about this show than I am.
Well, I always think it's a good idea to sort of pick your battles on a show so that you're not the
upset.
The guy put, like, some people just love to push back no matter what, and anything a network says they're like, you fucking tell them. And I'm like, listen, some things aren't that important. If they think the set should be wider, or if they think, I'm like, fine, I don't fucking care, you know, just like it. But it never got to a point where I had to pick a battle, right? Like, I just didn't have to pick it.
It's weird you said that, because my whole thing was like, listen, I gotta pick my battles. I lock sound tomorrow. and I never picked the bat. Like, like I always was waiting for the one big battle to fight.
Yep.
And we're done tomorrow night, and I never did. Like, I saved it all up for nothing. There was no big battle.
Maybe just deliver it, and just for no reason, just go, and fuck you! Yeah. Like, just for no reason. Probably...
But now you're a guy that was, like, fun to work. Like, they're probably like, that was a good working experience.
Well, that was my big thing, too, is, like, make sure the show's cheap. Make sure it's easy.
And
make
fun.
Sure
not,
make sure it's fun. It was fun for everyone but me, because I'm driving myself crazy. But... yeah, make it an easy experience. Don't be a fucking pain in the ass.
You don't have to be. There's no. You don't have to be a pain in the ass. And I hate drama on shows, because it's such a pain in the ass to pitch a show, get a show picked up, get it into production, get it on the air. It's just like, can we just fucking enjoy the fact that this has happened and not try to ruin it?
Exactly. They sent me right after I wrapped. They sent me like some gifts, and I came home and there was like these gifts at my door. I'm like, why would they buy me gift? Like, I don't understand. Like, I thought they did me a favor. They gave me a show. I'm like, wait a second. Oh, yeah, we're in business together. They want the show to do
first,
well. Yeah.
For a split second, I thought you meant animated gifts. Like, really, I was like, they sent him animated gifts of, like,
internet,
thumbs
YouTube.
Up. Or...
yeah,
it's
sorry. Just, good job. No, but, like, yeah, it's just weird for me. Like, I didn't even sometimes forget that it's not, they're not doing this to, they're doing it for the same reasons you're doing it. They want to hit show.
Yeah.
Like, they're not like, no, my parents didn't call up and make them do the show. They're in Kentucky. They have no options.
I do. I mean, I guess I, like, the idea of a hit show is of course, I like, why wouldn't I want that? But for me, I really just want a show that sustains itself, that is fun, you know, like, and if it's not, you know, if it's not like the fucking biggest show on cable, I'm fine with that. I just want it to be fun and have enough people watch it that we can keep making stuff that we like.
Totally. And that was our thing too, is like, we had a scene that was actually, I won't bring it up, but that was cut from the show, which I didn't argue about. It just, again, I'm not going to bring it up, but it was, let's just say it was shot before Newtown.
Mm-hmm.
And because of events, we couldn't air it, and I had no arguments, and they're like, you know, maybe we'll air it, you know, season two. I mean, obviously they can't make that decision right now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm like, I'm totally cool with, like, with not with saving stuff for other seasons, going for the, maybe season three has the breakout sketch in it. I don't know. As long as I can sustain it enough and make them a profit until then, keep the, on my end, I can keep it cheap. You know, that's one thing you can do. But, you know, it doesn't have to be, you can be successful in television, especially nowadays, without having to be like the biggest show on cable.
Yeah there's no
room for everything.
Well, yeah, it's there's a different programming philosophy now, and then in the old days of television, it was like, this has to, 20 million people have to watch this or it's getting the fuck off. And now I think people are realizing it's sort of an expanded version of the 1,000 true fans story, where it's like, you can, you know, you can still have, and by the way, several hundred thousand people watching a show is still a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah. Particularly now.
Well, Louis, I think someone told me, gets a less than 500,000 per show, and that's everyone I know loves Louis and watches Louis. You know? It's like, that's a successful show.
Yeah, well, Conan's show gets like a little less than 1,000,000 per show.
Yeah.
And it's like, still, it's doing fine.
Because there are shows that, again, this is the idea of depending too much on that number, which I understand they have to do, because television really is driven by advertising, so they have to be able to go into... they have to be able to go to a sponsor and say, they can't say, but look at the cultural penetration the show has. They have to say, these are the numbers that this show has.
But that's when your thing comes back into play, when they're like, listen, the numbers don't add up, this and that, but the dude was a pain in the ass. The show was expensive. He was fucking annoying. He battled with us all the time. Then we can show him the numbers and say, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But if they're cool and they, you know, they'll work with you with the low numbers, if you're fun and easy to work with.
Yeah.
It's not really rocket science.
But Louis's show is worth way more than whatever that 500,000 viewer or whatever the number is. Because, because when you look at, yeah, I don't know what the exact numbers on the show is, but it's not like 10 million people.
Exactly.
But it's such an amazing show that it's penetrated the culture and everyone is aware of it.
And what happens too is the next Louis wants to go to FX and make his show, because they see that Louis can make Louis there, and it brings business in, you know.
Yeah.
Like, people want to make their shows now for FX. You know,
it's what we were saying earlier. It's the prestige of having it there. Like, you know, when we're saying like major record labels, like, you know, they'll have Sonic Youth on or Built to Spill. Now, these aren't going to be on the charts. You know, these aren't going to be topping the charts, but they're there kind of as a prestige. As like, it's like, you know, we do still have good quality talent that doesn't get the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, they have them there. And that's kind of what like Louis is, or, you know, some like Mad Men has good numbers, but it's like, you know, and Breaking Bad.
Our old current offices.
Oh, that's right. When you guys moved over there, yeah, I was gone before then.
When you're depressed about your gig and you walk downstairs and you see John Hamm walk by in his Mad Men outfit, it doesn't help.
No, I can't imagine.
Yeah. Like, that shows a little better than me standing in front of a green screen talking about an iPhone.
were you in those studios downtown? Is that where you guys
were? The Nakatomi building or whatever?
Well, it's
the Los Angeles Center Studios.
I don't know if they're still there, but they were at Los Angeles Center Studios. And incredible thing about that place is that the original Sterling Cooper offices, all of the offices there look like that because it's a really old facility. But the weird time warpy thing is the original Sterling Cooper offices, they did them all up and repainted everything. But the rest of the offices in that complex were like that, but then run down by 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So they can do some flash forwards.
The entrance is the entrance to the building, too.
Oh, it is.
When you walk in. Yeah. So, yeah, you can you notice it when you
I'm sure. I think that's the Nakatomi Plaza from Die Hard.
Was that Nakatomi Plaza? No.
It's not?
Nakatomi Plaza, I thought was.
That's Century City.
I think it was in Century City.
Oh. I don't know.
The internet's correcting us right now.
Jonah, come on, man. Old pals, come all the way out of here. You're embarrassing me with this Nakatomi shit.
How did you pick that?
We should look it up, though, just in case I'm right.
We'll figure it out later.
We're never going to figure it out. How could we, Jonah? What would you?
There's someone just sitting there. Come on.
I forgot my phone today.
You forgot your phone, Kyle? How are you alive?
That's projecting.
What if your car breaks down?
That's projecting.
You need to Yelp something and then tweet about it.
Can I ask a question? So yeah. I'm here. The Nerdist, the head of technology. There's a guy in the corner with a white notepad and a pen. Like, I haven't seen anybody taking actual notes. And, like, shouldn't that be a MacBook Air or something?
I like to work analog.
He works analog.
Yeah.
And then everything.
If you approve of it.
Everything gets
quiet.
Turned
Chris
digital.
Chris doesn't like the clickety clack.
Oh, there you go.
Drives him crazy.
See, that makes sense. There's an answer.
It's digital in the sense that he's using his fingers to write letters.
Yeah, but he's.
Oh.
But he's wearing an awesome ground control shirt.
This Portland. Looks like a guy. He looks like he's more at home with that phone in his hand, though.
Yeah.
You do seem slightly more complete. You came to life.
I was halfway here when I realized it was gone and almost thought of like, well, I'll be late, but I'll be safe because I'll have my phone.
Mm-hmm.
He's just staring at that pad waiting for a text to appear.
That's the thing without having your phone. I saw you waiting outside. How do you wait without a phone? I forgot how to wait.
Well, in the old days, Jonah, if you said you were going to meet someone somewhere and they didn't show up, you just never saw that person again.
I just, do I?
Paul met John. That one seemed to work out.
Yeah, I just would assume everyone died in a car wreck on the way over. Just like, they're not here. They must have died.
Yep. So they didn't call.
Yeah.
How did you pitch your show to Comedy Central? Did they see you in something or did you?
Well, yeah, I was working on Norm and were really happy with my writing on Norm's show. And then I wrote on a bunch of their pilots and they kind of let me know, like, if you ever have a show to pitch, like, let us know. The door was open. Not like we'll make a show, but. So I pitched this show and, they gave us, I think, I'm not even allowed to say the number, but a number so low you wouldn't even know you could make television for this low. Mm-hmm. I go, I'll make you a full pilot for this ridiculously low amount of money. And I turned it in, and it's like X-rated. Like, it was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. I had a barbershop quartet count down the top internet porn videos of the week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to get blackballed out of the barbershop quartet community really fast.
I'm really sorry. Were you able to make amends?
One finally said, no, I haven't. There's a lot of people are pissed off, but this group is really great. They're in the show. I was like, probably the same thing as you. Like, I've seen a lot of my friends make pilots, and I could see them kind of like, trying to make what they think the network will like.
Oh, that's such a tough, because you can never predict them.
And when you think other shows, that it looks like, and I go, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to make a pilot that in 10 years, when I'm going to be hanging out at my house and my friends are going to be drunk and they're going to say, dude, didn't you make a pilot for Comedy Central 10 years ago? And we're going to turn it on and they're all going to start cracking up like, I can't believe you turned this into an actual movie. You fucking idiot.
Can anyone see the pilot anywhere?
Yes, well, it's airing as episode 4. It's so dirty that they said they can't air it for the as the first episode.
Because they don't want it. They probably don't want it to be reviewed as like, this is the...
Exactly, exactly. Okay, yeah. But they are airing it as... I mean, it'd be heavily... Oh, here's another cool thing that I just found out about. This is my first plug, but they rarely do this. They're going to air versions of my show completely unbleeped after 1 a.m.
Oh, that's really cool.
Awesome.
That's great.
And they don't usually, like, which is cost money too, because we got to outlay two versions of the show, you know, yeah. Unbleeped. So it costs us money. But so, like, after 1, I don't know when it's going to air, but, like, you can watch it with fuck and shit. And I mean, I don't know exactly what
Dick.
I said. What?
Dick.
Dick is in there. Yeah, yeah, a lot of dick.
But?
Well, butthole.
Ooh.
I mean, but I think you can air.
Yeah.
I found out what you can't say. It's kind of interesting.
You can say, you can call someone an asshole, but you can't refer to someone's asshole. You can't say.
I think it's, no, you're right.
If you say like, yeah. That asshole has a tight asshole, like you'd have to bleep the second one.
You can say, man, you're a dick. Right. You can't say suck my dick.
You cannot say suck my dick.
When I did a Live at Gotham, I had the word glory hole in there. And like they said, you can't say glory hole. We're going to have to beep glory.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, then it just seems like I'm saying asshole. Then the whole joke is messed up. And I say, can I say hole of glory? And they're like, yeah, you could say that. And then actually meant it to got a better laugh because I said that.
Yeah, sometimes there are clever. See, I tried to, as the show is going, sometimes try to find clever ways around bad words that sometimes get me. Like, I'll say like ding-a-ling or something.
Yeah.
Or like poo hole or whatever that I think is clean,
mm-hmm.
which are actually words you can't, I found out later, you can't say, which they'll bleep. Which sounds like the dirty word, so I should have just said the dirty word. Anyway,
it's a weird. There's a weird gray area which depends on because cable is not regulated like broadcast. Yeah,
there's no kind of rhyme or.
Sponsorship regulated.
Yeah.
So it's sponsorship regulated in the sense that there's an S&P. There's a standards and practices guy who will look at stuff and go, well, in my experience, you probably. I mean, there are some the obvious ones, but they're. You probably can't say that because that will upset the sponsor. And if someone writes in and complains, like they, you know.
And there's the whole thing, too, where they're like, you know, you can say shit, but you won't get your TV-14 rating. You're contracted to make a TV-14 show. And if it's TVMA, which is the next rating above it, we can't legally air it before 10.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you want those daytime re-airings, which is, you know, what kind of helps the show out. So you want to put the bleeps in. But it's this whole thing. It's kind of self-regulated, as you're saying, too. But there is some... I don't know if they... Who rates it? Like, do they rate themselves? I don't know. It must be an independent thing, because that TV-14 thing at the... You know that thing at the beginning?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
That blocks the person's face?
Who's talking for 10, 15 seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to figure out who's talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I don't... It must be like the MPAA type of thing for television that does it.
Yeah.
I know I've gotten on the wrong side of it quite a few times. Some dude I just recognized from E! Walked by.
Who was it?
I don't know, but it was a. He gives gossip.
Ooh, sweet gossip.
Yeah.
Mm.
So what's going to happen? Because they literally can just pick up the show whenever they feel like it. It could air once and they pick it up, or it could at the end of the season they could pick it up later.
They could literally, they could call. There could be a message waiting on my phone right now saying, "We love it. When can you get season 2? They could wait till contractually my last 5 minutes on my contract runs out and say, sure, let's do it. I mean, there's no way. I mean, like I said, we're not expecting huge, giant first night numbers, mm-hmm. First couple week numbers. I think it's going to take a build. But, yeah, they can pick it up or not pick it up at any time. I mean, I personally, because of who I am, I like low expectations. Because I don't want to have to hit those, you know, those South Park numbers.
Is it going to freak you out if you end up with a hit show and then because you sort of come from that background, like, is it going to freak you out if something's really
well? I can't even imagine it. I mean, that's why I guess the answer is yes then, because I can't even fathom the idea of anything I ever do being successful.
Because you have the look, Ben, of a very successful showrunner. Nice jacket. And a sports hat.
Yeah. Well, by the way, this is all wardrobe.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a TV show, I don't know, audience knows this, but they buy your wardrobe. Someone like me, I'm wearing this shit the rest of, I'm wearing this for 3 years.
They wouldn't let me keep mine when I did my Comedy Central pilot. They said, we got to take it and box it up and put it in. I stole some shoes and some jeans.
Yeah. These jeans are expensive, man.
Yeah, they give you really expensive jeans.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I could have done with half the price of these jeans.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't know the answer. I mean, I just, the idea that anyone will watch it is fucking crazy to me. But that's why you do it for someone like Comedy Central is the zero isn't, I mean, there's no, it's no current. It's not like, I think we'll be after like a Tosh rerun or something like that. Somebody's going to be watching,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it's going to be even a low number. Again, we've decided neither of us understand numbers. That low number is going to be a bigger number than I've ever seen. So it's going to be pretty crazy to see. And then, of course, I'm going to wake up and there's going to be, dude, loved your show, and then your show fucking sucks, fuck you, like all that stuff, which I'm totally, yeah. I'm used to. That's where we've been through it. I know about that. Usually, because in the old days, I would write back and agree with the person.
I just love the idea that they could call you and go, 700,000 people watched your show, and you go, oh my God, and they're like, that's not enough.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, but that's a lot of people.
200,000 viewers? Holy shit.
Who would have ever thought?
Where's the party? No.
No, it's
you're
a disaster.
In big fucking trouble. You took this network down, and like they didn't, people did not watch The Daily Show last night because your show was so bad.
Yeah.
Jon Stewart wants to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, oh, cool, I get to meet Jon Stewart.
No, you're not listening, Ben, you don't understand.
Oh, badass, well, that's a trip to New York, first class?
Yes, contractually that's true, but it's not going to be good when you get here.
Oh, dude, but he's like, I'll get to touch, like, make sure he washes his hands, I'm a little germaphobic, but yeah, sounds
you guys going
to
put me up? Yes!
Fucking yeah.
You're not hearing all of the negative.
Big news, about to meet Jon Stewart. I don't fucking know. I hate to be that guy, but like once I saw the first two versions of the first two episodes, I'm like, holy shit, this show works, and it's the show I wanted to make. Like, I don't know. Like, I've never had, like, I'm talking about that kind of success. Like, I've never made anything good really before. Like, this is very weird. Like, because I was waiting to get depressed after, like, because there's so many moving parts to the show, as you'll see, but that it all works together as I'd planned. Like, I've never planned out a show that much of anything planned out anything that like worked and like all the pieces fit together and like the show works and the network's set. Like, who the fuck am I? Who's my enemy now?
Yeah,
Jonah and I at lunch fucking screaming about our bosses and all this piece of shit. Like, I gotta find someone to yell at.
Well, that's why I always wonder how.
That's when you get political.
Like people with sort of a punk background where it's like, yeah, I'm always coming up against the machine, fuck the machine, and all of a sudden it's working, and then you're sort of become the machine, and then what do you...
I know. Well, I mean, I kind of grew up with that music, too, so I, like, it's kind of that thing. I'm kind of dealing with that now. Like, as we were saying before, I get along with the network really well, so, like,
oh, it's gotta feel
they're
weird.
Not the enemy. Fucking Viacom, man, they own the network. Like, no, the guys at Viacom like it, too. It's like, oh, great. So who's next? My fucking EP. No, you're the EP, and Mike, your buddy's the other EP, and you like him? All right. My managers. Those fucking assholes. He's like, they got you the show. It's like, just throw someone
it's
like a
It's still
sacrifice.
Just the old bosses at Current. You could just still hold on well, to that.
Trust me. Give me a month. I'll find something.
No, what you need to do is you need to have your own Kyle that will just absorb all of that tangential rage. And,
Kyle, you fucking asshole.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah. I fucking hate Kyle. That stupid idiot.
I hate him, too, because he did find out that it's Fox Plaza in Century City, which was the location
really?
For Nakatomi Plaza.
The one,
good job, dickhead.
It's the same building they shot Airheads.
No one cares.
That's the same building they shot Airheads?
Fact.
Yeah. They did shoot Airheads.
90s comedy to throw out to bring it all down. And
thanks for finding out the info that Chris and I already told you was the info. And we were pretty confident when we said it. But thank you anyway.
Yeah.
I like Jonas. I like your acquiescence. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you
going to do?
Yes. Thanks for looking up the fact that I did not work in Nakatomi Plaza. Because yeah. I would know if I was in Nakatomi Plaza.
Yeah, because that one floor would have all of the plastic in it, and then the blood from where John's feet bled.
Still to this day, the Die Hard
Museum. They didn't
change
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just left it.
Well, you think that new movie's gonna, that can't be good, right?
I like people that I know that loved the last one, like me, said it's just fucking god awful.
Now, I don't, you know, however much stock you want to put into this, but it did get 11% on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay. Still made, it made 25 million over the, was the number one, I think it was the number one movie over the weekend. Still made 25 million, but who knows what's going to happen.
Well, it also came out, it had a long weekend.
Yeah.
Because it came out.
Oh, it actually is out.
It came out on Valentine's Day, and they usually count that.
Because I remember during the Super Bowl, they had like the Yippee-ki-yay halftime show or something. Like, this is not cool.
Yeah.
Because the next word's a bad word.
Yeah.
Kids are going to hear that.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Russia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I rewatched Die Hard recently just because it was on TV. Holy shit, does that movie hold up?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
There's not, that could have come out today. I mean, should have come out.
It should have come out this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck, it's great.
I think what we should do is do a Look Who's Talking sequel, but from the first movie, because that kid would be grown up now. Mikey would be grown up. But I'd still like to see that he actually did become Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah.
And just sort of what happened. And it's very unremarkable because he just talks like a person.
Well, that's just
look
the kid.
Look Who's Talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
He's just like a guy who's talking.
Expectedly, Look Who's Talking. Like, you like he's a guy.
But how about this? He does, his mouth doesn't move. He does VO, like Look Who's Talking.
So he actually turned out to be a mute. Yeah. He turned out to be a mute.
Weirdly, he turns out to be a mute.
Yeah.
It's like, why would he ever talk if he's got that?
Yeah, exactly.
That was way better than my joke, which was that he gets pregnant somehow, and then you just hear. And I still think Kirstie Alley and John Travolta should be his parents.
Yeah, they'll still be his parents somehow. That's just the kid, isn't it, though? Wasn't that Bruce Willis movie where it's the young version of himself shows up?
Which one?
Oh, yeah, that movie, Disney The Kid. Movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they were thinking. That was their, they couldn't get the rights, so that was the next best
Yeah.
thing they could try.
Look Who's Talking.
I love this Look Who's Talking sequel idea where just everyone's growing up, but the son is, they don't explain why the son is older than the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't, yeah.
Or do they explain
why? Well, you could tell by his voice in the womb. Like, there was clearly some type of progeria.
Yeah.
That was happening.
What's crazy is that the sperm still had the same voice than when it hit the egg and became, that's weird.
Technically, George Segal was the father.
Yeah,
because that was the whole thing. He got Kirstie Alley pregnant, and then John Travolta was a crazy cab driver who like helped her out, and then they fell in love. So really,
Fives Finkel was his dad, right?
Was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
or
maybe
no, it was Abe Vigoda.
It was Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda.
It was Abe Vigoda.
I was gonna say I got to rewatch this film, but I know I'm not. There's no way.
Don't call it a film.
That. Yeah.
Exactly. there's already been two. There was Look Who's Talking. Look Who's Talking 2.
Look Who's Talking Now.
Look Who's Talking 2 had Roseanne Barr as the sister.
And then The Pets was Danny DeVito and Diane Keaton.
Yes, and that was Look Who's Talking Now. So this would be the fourth installment if we did it.
Look Who Won't Shut the Fuck Up.
Yeah.
If we did it. Like, it's up to us.
Yeah. Like, it's going
to
happen.
Look Who's Continuing to
obviously
talk.
We can get the rights and we can get the actors, but let's make a decision.
I'm going to pitch this to Thomas Tull at Legendary.
Yeah.
Thomas, I think I've got a winner. We're going to get Nolan.
Yeah.
And we're going to produce The Look Who's Talking.
Comedy Central, I'll be unavailable for season 2.
I think
we're working on Look Who's Talking.
I'm working on Look Who's Talking.
I honestly think...
Won't stop talking the fuck up. Like,
I honestly think that's what they should have done. They should not have made this Die Hard 5. They should have made it Look Who's Talking 5. This last one. Where he goes to Russia.
Oh, yes, you're right. I was actually
should
thinking...
Should have been a Look Who's Talking.
They should actually know, sorry, because since it's like Look Who's Talking 2, no. No, see, because it was like the Look Who's Talking Now should have been Look Who's Talking 2, 2. So mm-hmm. T-O-O.
Yeah,
so it was the sequel to Look Who's Talking 2.
Look Who's Talking 2 also.
Or yes, Look Who's Talking...
as well.
Look Who's Talking 2-2, where Bruce Willis is the inner monologue of Bishop Desmond Tutu.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
It reminds me, too, of my buddy Craig and I, we decided back in the rougher days, we're like, we're going to write a spec script that we know won't sell, but it'll just make everyone go town crazy. So we got 10 pages into Three Men and a Whore, where the girl grows up and becomes a prostitute.
Oh, I remember you telling that.
And like, it's just like, it's like a fucking porn. It was so,
because she had a very dysfunctional family.
She had three dads.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to change a woman.
And one of them was Gutenberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to mess you up, man.
But, and so, you know, we did,
he's probably the nicest guy in the world.
No. We rewatched that for our brilliant script idea. No, just the first one. Holy shit, is that bad?
Really?
Doesn't hold up?
It's like the worst. Leonard Nimoy directed that. Did you know that?
What?
Leonard Nimoy directed Three Men and a Baby.
Did I know that? I don't know if I knew that.
That's a fact.
Did he also do the soundtrack?
I don't know, but he should
have. Your fellow man, lend him a helping.
Is that on the notepad? Just check that out. I'm nearly positive I'm right about that. But that was, I think that's the worst film I've ever seen.
No,
really? There's way worse movies.
I don't know. At the time, it was just like, I mean, I think it's something else. I don't know. It threw me. Because that was, I think it was like the highest grossing comedy at that time.
The movie was enormous. That movie was huge.
Yeah. But it looks like an after school special. It's awful.
Did that come out before Full House? Because Full House has a three dad situation as well.
Probably it did. That probably is like the TV version.
Three dad situation is my Crosby, Stills, and Nash cover band.
Three dad situation.
Yeah.
I love that song.
And they're just, it's Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and they're raising Neil Young.
Oh, that's adorable.
CSNY.
You find it yet, Kyle? Yeah, it's a bad network situation here. So what's going to occupy your time once you turn in the, once you're done?
Well, a lot of the I'm getting really great response as far as, you know, doing talk show. I've never done a talk show before, so, you know, the couch, which obviously you've done a lot, but I've never like sat down on a couch and talked to Jimmy Kimmel or Conan. I don't know. I'm doing that stuff in the, you know, interviews and all that. To answer your question, I don't fucking know. Like, it's promoting the show, really. But other than that,
do you have bits set up?
No, I gotta figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, my idea was to talk to, like, I think Norm is like the talk show guest.
He's the best talk show guest ever.
So my goal was for him to train me like Rocky style.
But no one can really do what Norm does, though. He's so specific.
Exactly. I think it would.
Yeah, what you gotta do on there is take on a joke book.
Exactly. I know. It would come off so obviously that I was doing a Norm impression that I probably shouldn't do that. But like, it is. Like your first, what was your first on the couch show?
Daytime or nighttime? I think I did nighttime. My first nighttime on the couch talk show. Oh fuck, I don't remember. It might have been. I think it was maybe Fallon, like 4 years ago.
Were you
or 3 years ago? Whenever the first year that he.
Did you freak out about it, or were you like? I mean, were you just like, my question is, where do you start? Could you tell your life story? Do you tell a funny anecdote? I mean, I don't even.
Well, they'll do a pre-interview, and then you'll talk to their. It's funny. Well, I guess they didn't really do a late-night talk show until well into my career. Maybe it was Ferguson or Fallon or something. But anyway, yeah, they'll pre-interview you, and you'll talk a lot, and then they'll. It's not scripted at all. I mean, at least the ones that I've done, they'll just. The producer will remind you, like, oh, you know, you could talk about this, or you could talk about this. I mean, it's all. Going to somewhat be relevant to the thing you're talking about. And then at a certain point, you just get to, if you're lucky enough, then you get to be someone like Bill Burr who just goes on and is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I saw that last Conan one. Funny.
That one was so incredible. I go downstairs to see the guy at the oboe, best oboe player.
Was that the one he was talking about?
Is it the president? Like how hard it is to be the president. Where it's like you have to do
the moment
all this
that
stuff.
He yawns, they're like, oh,
exactly. And then like when you're watching the best oboe player in the world, you yawn. Everyone's like, he hates music.
That's where I know I'm behind with comedy because I'm just now seeing that guy do stand up. Like obviously he's been around. Holy fuck, he's fun.
How do I
miss these people?
Like, yeah, he's so
I'm just
incredible.
Not in that stand up.
Bill may be the best comic right now.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
That's what but that's how late I come to it, which is like, all right, they say he's the best comic. Time to check him out.
Yeah,
there are no lulls. There are no lulls.
Well,
with
I watched
him.
Just that last stand-up special on Netflix. I was like, God, this guy's so fucking funny. And it was that. It was like, where's the filler?
There's no filler.
No filler. Yeah, and he'll bring up a topic that you just don't agree with at all. And by the end of it, you're on his side.
Kind of like, you know, when I watch those Louis specials, I'm just like, where's the part where he's going to kind of slow down and kind of take a break?
No.
The end, after the show. No, but back to me, which is back to you. Like, were you nervous about those things?
Of course, yeah. Especially because, you know, it's... Well, you know from doing... Or you may... Well, you don't do stand-up, but... You know, it always takes a couple minutes to sort of warm up. You know, like, I feel like you can sort of get lucky that you immediately connect with the crowd for whatever reason. But if they're not really that familiar with who you are, sometimes it can take a minute or two to warm up. So just go in knowing that there will be a minute where you're kind of connecting with the audience. And don't worry. Just have fun. Like, yeah, honestly, the most important thing you can do is have fun. Because no matter what happens, as long as you have fun, it's going
to
be fine.
It feels like it's something... Hard to make it really bad. I mean, you can be really bad, but it's hard to make it really bad, but also hard to do that Bill Burr level of, like, don't go in there trying to be the fucking funniest.
And also understand the dynamics of the room in terms of, you know, like, the Conan studio is very large. So there's a lot of distance between you and the audience. And so, you know, you notice, like, when Bill does
space work will help out.
Yeah, exactly. So you notice, like, when Bill does Conan, his body is out toward the audience and he's lobbing shit over the cameras, sometimes when people are not facing, like if they're not really talking to the audience there, which you can totally do because the audience at home will hear you, but just don't be thrown if the live audience doesn't react as much because you have to really aim far to hit like in a big studio. In a tighter space, it's a little more intimate, you know, it's a little bit easier to connect because they're right there. But a studio audience can often be...
Kimmel's pretty wild, right? I mean, I've been to tapings of Kimmel.
Kimmel can be great, but it can also... It's, you know, like there's a lot of stuff going on the set. There's a band, there's Jimmy, there's a lot of lights. People just came in off Hollywood Boulevard. There's a lot of things that can distract them, but he's gotten really amazing at, like, focusing the crowd.
By the way, wrote me the nicest letter, like, right in the thick of post when I was, like, just a bad day of just, like, a lot of shit going wrong. I get an email... Jimmy Kimmel, I don't even know if he wants me to repeat this. Just like, I fucking love your show. It's so fucking funny. Like, this someone has no affiliation with the show. I don't know him personally. Just out of nowhere, telling me how much he loves the show and he just wants to help, you know.
That's
just like
really
to have you
cool.
on the show. Like, he's like, I think he might be the new Tom Hanks of
Entertainment.
Uptown. Like, just, and he wrote Kent, the president, as well. Just like, I'm gonna let you know I watched that Ben show. It's fucking hilarious, man.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. You can tell by, like, there's no reason for him to find my email and write me an email. He could have just stopped by my dressing room while I was at the show. You know, it's like, I want to tell this kid I like his show. Fucking nicest thing ever.
That's really nice. Or it's a hoax, and one of your friends is going to be like, did you ever get that email I sent you from Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah. Oh. 10 years trying
did
to
Did you totally
that,
believe that? Like, that you're going to do the couch. You're going to be like, thanks for having... I didn't write you a...
Yeah, you're not even supposed to be here. Yeah, where's Jennifer Aniston?
You've never had a show.
Yeah. I don't have a show. You work at Current TV.
Yeah, you're still here. That's why we're still here.
You're correspondent for Al Jazeera. Anyway.
Well, I hope that you... First of all, I hope your show does well, and I hope that if it does do well, that you can enjoy that success. Are you kind of a saboteur of good things?
Well, I'm always... I'm not a saboteur. That's different. I've seen friends of mine... I know what you're saying, which is literally sabotage their career. Like, do things to make their career go bad. I don't do that. I just have a little bit of trouble. It's fine. Greg Fitzsimmons just said the same thing, like, on his podcast. Like, can you just try to enjoy? It's not that I don't enjoy it. It's just my neuroses just goes crazy. But I do appreciate that. But I'm trying all I can to enjoy it. I'm very aware that this is, like, a rare thing and not... To enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
Not happening. I'm trying.
Well, trying is all you can do sometimes.
I can tell you, though, that what I do is I will say to myself, I know that what's happening right now is amazing. There's a lot of pressure on me to make sure that I don't fuck it up or that I do what I'm supposed to do. And so I may not be enjoying it as much as I could be right now. But in retrospect, I know that I will enjoy it and I will look back on it as an amazing experience. Like, I sort of defer the... Because when you're in the moment, it can be a little hard sometimes to, because you really do have to focus and, like, I fucking got to make this work.
Totally. And, like, looking back, how much fun should Jonah and I have had at Current, knowing that we would later be able to employ ourselves doing stuff we like doing?
Yeah.
It would have been so much more fun if we just kind of enjoyed it at the time. Yeah, it's a fucking shitty gig.
We got to take, like, 2-hour lunches while we just did nothing but hang out.
Yeah, we got to stick around a lot, but, you know, that's how we work, I suppose.
That's the young punks in you.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to be
Trying to take down Al Gore.
Yeah, well, we got the best.
Not going to work now.
He really did, yeah.
Would he get $500 million for that?
He'd fucking got so much money.
Al Gore Zira. Yeah. But
I like that.
That's good.
It's good wordplay.
That's why I laughed.
It's his name on the place that he sold it to.
Combine the two.
For a lot of money. I just took those two.
Because those were separate words.
They were separate words, but, you know, loosely related because he, I mean, again.
Guys, I want to tell you right now that Three Men and a Baby is actually based off of a French novel.
Yes.
I knew that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Do you know French at all?
Hold on.
You guys knew that? I never knew that.
That I knew.
Trois hommes et une coiffe, which translates to the story of Jonah.
Oh, that's something else I was researching. Yeah, sorry.
And was directed by Leonard Nimoy.
Yes, he directs my life. Good, Leo?
Leo Murray. What are you going to do today?
Me? I'm going to go lock sound on, because I'm a crazy control freak, so I have to be there at all sound mixes.
Mm-hmm.
So I go like, you know, can you get the EQ up in the right, like all this annoying stuff, and the dude's just like, shut the fuck up. And I pretend like I know all the sound stuff. So we lock. I'm going to try to get three sound. Because sound's the last. The sound mix is the last part. So get those done. And then we'll only have one episode left. So I have to get that done today. And then, you know.
Relax.
Go relax. Hang out.
Is it the Ben Hoffman show?
It's the Ben Show.
The Ben Show.
Well, actually, it's the Ben Show with Ben Hoffman. It's not a vanity thing. It was for legal reasons.
Sure.
But yeah, I did not want my name twice in the title. It was just supposed to be the. You can call it the Ben Show.
Well, it's also the Jeselnik Offensive with Anthony Jeselnik is the official title for his show. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think it's the same like the Daily Show.
Yeah.
Like, no one says like, "Hey, did you watch the Daily Show with Jon Stewart?"
Last yeah.
Time? Just the Daily Show, but for legal, like every basically. Like with bands, every show title is now taken it for some at some point.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like you just have to add little things. To yeah. Like legally,
the Bettles.
Yeah.
So it's on every
Thursdays at 10 on Comedy Central. They're starting a new They don't even have shows on Thursdays.
But you're gonna do it for them.
I'm gonna give them Thursday nights. Me at 10, Nathan Fielder at 10:30. Brand new comedy.
Well, but Friends is on.
Must see TV, Chris.
Yep. Yeah.
This is the new must-see TV. The new must-see lineup.
Yeah.
Taking it from NBC. Can people find you on...
Oh, yeah. Twitter, The Ben Show. Hey, I don't know if I did this right, but I was like, I'm going to have my Twitter... I was like, if the show gets canceled, still, The Ben Show is a good Twitter handle.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets confusing, too, because it'll be like, watch... Everyone's like, watch at The Ben Show
Hoffman.
With Ben Hoffman. Like, no, I'm... Twitter name is The Ben Show.
Yeah.
So it kind of fucked everything up. But you can go to Comedy Central, go to my... they have a Facebook page, and they have all that shit. A Tumblr. Like, does that seem excessive?
Nah.
That's about what they're doing now.
It's a digital age, my friend.
I guess so. I gotta take a...
It's a social media world, and we just populate it.
Exactly.
But I think people should tune in, because Ben was the funniest guy working at Current TV, which I know doesn't sound like it's saying much.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing.
But it was ridiculous.
Fuck you, man!
It was ridiculous, like, at the time, just, like, see, you know, someone so funny that just, like, would just get told no, and it would always be like, what is happening? Like, it made me think that I was wrong about comedy. Like, being at that place, I was like...
Well, that should have helped you out.
Yeah.
Well, now this is encouragement.
We're both doing okay. We got
exactly.
Out. Yeah.
We're here. In a giant building.
Doing an internet podcast.
Exactly.
Congratulations, you comedy monkeys.
Yeah. There's my
party girl.
Yeah.
No, but thanks for having me on, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, and congratulations. I mean, it is a fucking feat to get a show picked up and get a show on the air. So honestly. I mean, I hope this doesn't sound schmaltzy, but no matter what happens, it's an incredible thing that you've done.
Like, the last week or 2 weeks ago, again, it still hadn't quite hit me because I'm just like, you know, this line needs to be moved in because I'm watching
a bit trebly.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, can you approve the images for the billboard here? I'm like, what was that again? Yeah, the billboard on Sunset Boulevard. You need to, you know, approve the images so we can put it up. I guess they're doing this. I guess it's airing, and like they're going to do the...
And the good news is that no matter what happens with the show, you're in the machine as someone who has sold a show. You've written on shows. Like, it's...
Well, that was the whole goal.
You're going to be okay.
The goal with the pilot was to make a crazy pilot, which will get me from writing on cable networks to writing on network shows. That was the goal of the pilot, was to get better writing gigs. And then they picked it up. I'm like, oh, fuck. Now I got to go do podcasts and stuff. Yeah. Like, now comes the billboard. This could get... This is going to be hard to find a negative about. Now what do I do? I'll find a way.
Next year, Ben Hoffman's hosting the Emmys.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm...
But it's not the Oscars.
Yeah, exactly.
The Emmys take you to lunch. Yeah. You walk the Emmys to their car, and they have to push you away. That's not what this was about.
Yeah.
I didn't want to host the damn Emmys.
And please give me back my sweats, Jenna.
Oh, yeah, that girl.
Ugh.
Did you say you do know the final answer on her?
No, I have no idea.
Or she's married.
It's possible. I don't know a lot of things about those days. A lot of them are just in this weird drunken smear.
Well, I have a question about that, too. I know we're getting done here, but... So the last couple of years, I just don't like drinking. I'm just like, I don't want to do something I don't like. So I basically don't drink anymore. What the fuck am I supposed to do? What's left?
Nothing. Starbucks.
But I'm saying, like, at night, like, I can't go to bars.
Video games?
People. I get...
A girlfriend?
No. Maybe that would be the answer.
Reading?
I do read a lot.
Education? Educate yourself on something? Find a topic, find a thing you always wanted to learn, and just devote an hour a night to learning it. Within a year, you could be an expert.
Do you guys have Kindles?
No.
God, the Kindle's changed my life.
I have an Andy Kindle.
You have an Andy Kindle?
I have an Andy Kindle. This book is... the third word got out of my mouth. I'm like, I shouldn't do this.
Yeah, it's good.
No, it doesn't seem like you mean that.
No, I thought it was a good Andy Kindle impression.
No.
Will Kindler approve?
I thought it was a spot on Andy Kindle.
Yeah. Not the best Kindler. Really good Kindle.
Yeah. It's the best Andy Kindle I've heard.
Yeah.
Andy Kindler is one of my favorite comedians.
But yeah, no, I'm just, I don't know how, oh God, he's so funny. I don't know what to, I'm trying to find stuff to do.
Learn something new. Because especially as a writer, you need to put.
I've noticed I have been reading a ton more. Like I'm a guy with a comedy show who's dead in the middle of an 800-page LBJ biography right now. So that is a new thing.
That's some brain
space. By the way,
there.
JFK is bugging LBJ right now. No, this is not. I'm not making this up. He's bugging him to death. He's like, you got to get your connections and help me out and set up some fundraising dinners in Dallas because for the 64, like, you fucker, you better set these up or like, and I know where this is going because I know the full story. Like, it's pretty crazy. And LBJ's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Ooh.
Like, it's kind of weird. I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah.
That, like, JFK was, like, pounding LBJ.
Do it! Just do it!
Just go to Dallas. Like, what's the worst that could happen?
Da-da-ba-ba-da-quank.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, no.
So it's sort of an upstairs, downstairs. White House edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, you could go on iTunes U on iTunes and download, like, full MIT courses. Like, you literally...
Did you start doing that?
I downloaded the complete first-year physics program, but I've been so busy with work that I haven't even... Because for me, it's sort of... I don't have a lot of extra time, and when I do have a little bit of extra time, I just kind of need to stare at something and zone out for an hour.
That's kind of what I'm dealing with now, too, because I've been so swamped for the last six... I haven't had a minute to myself in 6 months, and now it's like there's a chance I can have a lot of free time.
There's a ton of television to catch up on, too. Like, there's a lot of stuff. Just fill your head with stuff. There's enough stuff in the world. The internet can give you...
Yeah, TV star, you'll figure out something.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you should adopt a child or a puppy or...
too much work.
All right, that's a fair answer.
That'll be J-Book.
It's a fan.
Yeah.
Enjoy a burrito, everyone.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Girls Fight Back is the world-renowned personal safety and empowerment-based self-defense company that teaches women and people of all gender identities how to live confidently while being their own best protector. As a leading voice on violence prevention and empowerment for over 20 years, Girls Fight Back has trained over 1 million people around the world since 2001.
Their engaging workshops create a safe environment for groups to learn evidence-backed, life-saving skills, emphasizing that self-defense education is about more than just physical resistance. Girls Fight Back, led by CEO Nicole Snell, provides audiences with a range of applicable safety strategies that can be used in any setting so that you can lead a badass life.
To learn more about Girls Fight Back and to bring their award-winning trainings and seminars to your community, visit girlsfightback.com. That's girlsfightback.com.